He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Welcome, one and all, to the Sports Opinion Show. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? I cannot believe that we are just a week and a half away, ladies and gentlemen. A week and a half away, coffee. That's what's up to coffee, who by far is the and I just now came up with this as the intro was going on, coffee, believe it or not. But coffee, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, and I just came up with this name, I don't know why, just now, but coffee is the chat room champion. He was here first. Usually it's DDP who's first. DDP is also in the chat room. How do you feel about that, coffee? Coffee said now he works Sunday to Thursdays and Fridays he's free now. Well, that's good. That's good. You showed them who's boss, didn't you? No, just kidding. Oh, my God. You can tell we're going to have a good show today. We're going to have an awesome time. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe that, you know, everything is happening very, very rapidly. It's like one of these little crazy things that take place and we don't even really know about it. It's coffee, I don't have any cash prizes or anything right now to give you, but maybe after the new year we'll take care of you there. Get you a late Christmas present. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. But I can't believe we are just days away, ladies and gentlemen. DDP, your favorite month is almost over. Halloween will be here soon. And speaking of first time ever, you all know that I'm not really into the Halloween theme, but I thought, you know, it's not about me. I mean, it is to an extent, but hey, I don't really care about this mumbo-jumbo Halloween stuff. I mean, if you don't believe me, just ask my friends all over social media. If you've been to my social media page on MySpace or anything else, you know that a few friends have posted on my pages on the few social media websites that I am involved with. Hey, we're having this party on Tuesday night, the day before Halloween, we're having an early Halloween party. I'm like, I'm not really interested in going. But, you know, I thought it would be awesome to get you guys into the Halloween spirit, so you guys are not like me. You guys are really into it. I'm not. Well, I mean, just go check out a horror movie. It's pathetic now. I know this is a sports show, but let me just say real quickly, when they created that Samuel L. Jackson movie in 2007, snakes on a plane? Come on. Like, there really would be snakes on a plane, DDP. Come on now. Give me a break. Oh, well, Coffee, I didn't know you were like me. Good. We have that in common now. But, yeah, that's a first time ever. Ever on the show. That's never happened. It's just, wow. Crazy. Yeah, I know. It's not the same anymore. I mean, shit, Coffee, when I was like only 3 years old, the babysitter that my mom had hired, she thought it would be okay. She thought me and my little brothers, who were younger than I was, were 3 years apart. She thought it would be okay to show us the old movie with the deranged clown. Thank God I never became afraid of clowns or anything like some of my friends are. But nonetheless, she showed us the movie It. And so for the longest time, my mom kept trying to figure out why we were having nightmares, why we kept crying in the middle of the night. Finally, my little brother, he opened his mouth. The clowns! And he pointed to the babysitter. The clowns did it! She showed us the clowns! My mom had fired her right then and there. Yeah, so if you're out there, if you want to be a babysitter, take a lesson. Don't show any horror movies to young children. It will horrify them. Not that it horrified me and my brothers. Well, yeah, this is going to be a first time ever right here on the show, ladies and gentlemen. But I can't believe you want to talk about scary things for Halloween. I mean, everything has been happening is multiple scary in the world of sports. And since, you know, I thought from last week to this week, since we're aiming and heading towards Halloween, what could be scarier than a scary topic such as, you know, what if sports cease to exist? That is our subject for today, or you can subtitle it and write this down. What if sports died? Because, I mean, this morning, as a matter of fact, I woke up and I'm still adding things to the show. I always do this, you know, sometimes I start on Tuesday or Wednesday to get the show prepped and everything. But it's like, I keep finding more and more stories and I'm going, can I really add all this into a 2-hour show? It's only a 2-hour show. But this morning, Bill Belichick had told, you know, Yahoo Sports, and it was on Fox News. You can watch that on Fox News. That Bill Belichick said that he could help his rigorous and secondary, you know, offense team by doing the unthinkable, which is to say that, you know, most people like myself, we all have said the same thing. This is never going to happen. And some people are like, well, you can't blame the Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Because imagine if he could forgive former assistant Eric Maglioi and hire him next week to run the Patriots secondary for the rest of the season. Well, it's not known whether or not he did actually forgive his assistant. Because Eric had, you know, screwed up. If you saw the Patriots game on last Sunday beforehand, the secondary did not do so well as all the other, you know, the offensive coordinator coaches, the field goal coach and special teams, all the way up to Bill Belichick. Everybody else made Bill happy except Eric Maglioi, because the secondary they weren't doing their job at all. And he had told Bill Belichick privately, because Bill had mentioned this morning on Fox News, that he really didn't think that the previous Sunday, that, well, I didn't really think I needed to get the team ready. What? What could be scarier than you telling your boss, Coffee, I didn't think I needed to get the team ready. why are you not going to get the team ready for secondary positioning when you know that, because he had done a few practices, and then he tells the secondary team, because Bill Belichick had told him too, because he mentioned this on Fox News this morning when I watched it, he said that he had told him, he said, well, how come you didn't have the secondary team practice like I told you to practice? He goes, well, I overruled you and I changed your mind for you. I gave them Friday off. So, which means last week when we were on the air here, he should have had the secondary team practicing, practicing, practicing. And now Eric goes and he gives them the day off? You talk about scary horror shit. This is pathetic, Coffee. You don't give the secondary team the day off. I mean, shit. That would be like me, you know, going into work and telling everybody, okay, I know so-and-so's not here today because he's the ultimate boss. He's the main boss in charge. I'm kind of the boss. But just go ahead, take the day off. And what if he comes into work and goes, where's everybody at? Oh, it'll just be me and you today. I told everybody we could take the day off, that they could take the day off and me and you would work. My boss would have been pissed. There is no way you can do that. Exactly, Coffee. Coffee said in the chat room, either you know how to do it or you don't. And I'd like to welcome guest 3814 into the chat room. Going to have a few Halloween specials during our commercial break. Might amuse you, might not. Because the Patriots' pass defense, which last year everybody remembers was the worst to ever reach a Super Bowl, they still haven't improved much statistically this season. Because last week the Patriots danced with defeat before finally putting away the New York Jets in overtime. However, the lasting image of that game, if you're a New England fan, is that the Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez carving up the state Patriots secondary. In fact, if not for an ugly drop by wide-open New York rookie wide receiver Stephen Hill, the Patriots, more than likely, probably, would have lost. This is the thing that is ultimately, because, you know, it's, how do I say this? It's more like the best of the best and the worst of the worst. Because, I mean, we're now in the World Series. I'm proud of my Giants. I'm proud of my boys. Much love. Much love. They're in the World Series. The World Series is coming to the end. And this is what sports is about. To really see who is the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And we know later on when we get into the world of wrestling, the world of wrestling is forever changing. But it's not changing the way everybody thought it would. Which is really, really pathetic, and we'll talk about that a little later on. Because what if the NFL could not fix its own problems? Or maybe it could. Or what if Major League Baseball had never given great players of the past, like, a major chance to shine and show what they could do? Such as Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth. Because Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth were the first of many multiple guys that came in and just started charging everything and showing Major League Baseball how the game and the rules of baseball would change. Until they saw Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth going, did you just hit that ball way out there in the out of the park? Yeah, we did. And so, you know, former Major League Baseball commissioner from the 1950s all the way up to the 1980s, he was the one that decided, we're going to have another rule. If you hit it out of the park, we're going to call that a home run. And you know how I came up with that off-the-top name, that Coffee, the chat room champion, for being first here today? It's kind of like that. What happened back in the 1950s, they just, all the Major League Baseball bosses, everybody in charge at that time, had said, well, what do we call that? I mean, Babe Ruth just hit it way, way out into left field, all the way up in the bleachers. What can we call that? We'll call that a home run, and then somebody else chimed in. Then they'll have to run all the bases, and they'll eventually score because, hell, you're not going to get the ball back. And they've left that way ever since. And the charging effect of what the NFL has done is they've hurt themselves to the core. They've thought of this plan and that plan, and they really need to work out the kinks because, coffee, this is not working. It's not working at all. Yes, coffee, that was my immediate question. Or like I said, you can call it, what if sports died or ceased to exist? Any of those words would fit. It's a subject, but it's a subject that you could end it any way you want to. Yeah, I know, coffee. Over here in the U.S., it's all about the money. And it always has been about the money. In 1974, the National Hockey League had bribed itself because they had the richest men who came in and said, we're going to give teams an acclimation of what we make, which at that time was only $200 for being a hockey player. Well, how is hockey going to be played? Well, they're going to rough each other up. They're going to beat the hell out of each other. But what if they get seriously hurt? That's okay. Because they even knew back in the 70s, if they get hurt, they knew in their minds, oh, well, if you get hurt, too bad. You're only going to get this much money, and we'll keep the rest. Because we're the rich guys. We're the ones supporting this and investing in it. But the real investment needs to come now because, I mean, I told you guys many times before that I go have dinner at my dad's house on Wednesdays with my sister and my other grandpa. And this week, as soon as I walk in the door, the minute I walk in, I go, hey, Dad, what's up? He's like, there ain't nothing going up. Everything's going down. What are you talking about? He's sitting there watching sports news with my grandpa. This is the first time they've ever watched sports news, DDP. I was shocked. I said, so anyways, what's on the agenda? They go, pay attention. He goes, quiet. So I shut my mouth and my dad turned up the volume. Then I find out that because of the suppression that the National Hockey League has put on themselves, coffee, they might just maybe. Oh, we're going to have to go on strike. The players aren't doing what we told them to do, and we own them. Excuse me, you don't talk to the players like that. The reason you are rich is because they made you rich. The reason you get to fill your pockets with extra cash is because they're getting injured and practically dying for you on that hockey, you know, out there on the ice. I mean, sure, they've softened the game up. Everybody's softened their game up. Oh, we can't be as dangerous as we used to be. And as you remember from that audio clip from last week that featured Steve Austin right here on the show, when he said that, you know, I don't know why the 90s got labeled the Attitude Era. There was so much attitude. But as he said in the audio clip last week, he wasn't just talking about WWE solely by itself. Everybody, baseball, hockey, basketball, everybody from the 70s all the way through the 90s, they've always had attitude. which is why I remember back in the days when WCW was around, and literally on the basketball court, you had Karl Malone on one side, Scottie Pippen on the other side. These two guys, in reality, did not get along. It's like whenever the Utah Jazz went to Chicago, or the Chicago Bulls went to Utah to take on the Jazz, it's like every time these two got right into each other's face, you knew something was going to happen, which is why WCW booked that whole match thing between them. Because sports has always had an attitude. But now everybody feels that, well, the so-called attitude era from the 90s, yeah, we got to tone it down. Now you've got promoters. You've got people in charge of Major League Baseball saying, oh, we're going to change the strike zone just a little bit. I mean, remember, this has been going on since 2009, since I first reported in 2009 when I said that Roger Goodell had told the world no more helmet-to-helmet contact. That is considered illegal in my book, and I can do that because I'm the commissioner. I'm Roger Goodell. If anybody saw that show when he was being interviewed on a sports show on ESPN, I don't know the name of the show, I don't remember, but it was in 2009. He said it just like that, with an attitude, to show the world that he was pissed off because nobody's listening to him. And he proclaimed that, well, I'm in charge and I make the rules and no more helmet-to-helmet contact. That's not going to happen here anymore. Oh, and you know, when you take them down by the ribs, no, we can't have you tackling them in the ribs anymore. It has to be upper body tackle or tackle them in their hips, in between their legs. Whatever he meant by that, Coffee, I don't know. But it's like, so you change the rules. And remember, it was a year ago tonight, a year ago today, ladies and gentlemen, on this very day last year in 2011, when, of course, the biggest promoter of all, Vince McMahon, tells the world, we can't have violence escalating everything. It's all for this, and we're going to become a PG product. PG only. No more blood, no more of this. It's not allowed anymore. Because I'm Vince McMahon and I can do that. Oh, just because you're Vince McMahon, just because you're Roger Goodell, just because you're Bud Sealing for baseball who said, no, we're changing the strike zone. Oh, and there's only a certain way that a pitcher can pitch now. Oh, and remember this year, earlier this year, ladies and gentlemen, before the summer even started, I had told you all what Major League Baseball was and is still, after all this time, that was what, back in February when I told you all, that they are thinking of, check this out, guest 3814, that they want to try to somehow, in some way, get rid of instant replay. And I said, no, what are you, crazy, Bud Sealing? Bud Sealing would not comment or even consider coming on the show with me so I could interview him. He only emailed me and said, this is my jurisdiction. Nothing you say will change anything. I said, yeah, but Bud Sealing, we need serious ramifications if we get rid of instant replay. He said, well, if we get rid of instant replay, then just deal with it. Me as a fan going, what? Just deal with it. You know, and the other question is, what if any of the old-time promoters, Roger Welch, who I mentioned earlier was baseball commissioner for the longest time, many years, he actually started commissioning in the 1930s, and he did it for the longest time, all the way up to until the 70s when he started having health problems and such things like that. And all these other guys, people that were in charge even before Roger Goodell got there, and last but not least, the most prominent man in all of sports, What if Vince Sr. and the rest of these promoters were still alive? They would be damn pissed if everything that they worked so hard for is now suddenly going down the tube. It's crazy. It's, you know, don't worry, we're going to stay on top of this subject. We just have a few things to go over before we take a break in just a minute. All the games that took place on Sunday with the NFL, they were all good. I don't have a bad thing to say about any of the football games that took place last Sunday. They were all amazing. Everybody was even hyped up on the Raiders game because, you know, they went into overtime, and I was happy that they won, too. Oh, it's been a good week, a very good week. My Raiders are winning. My San Francisco Giants are in the World Series. And the guest in the chat room is probably wondering, the hell kind of fan are you? You're a Giants fan for baseball, but a Raiders fan for football. I know. You can ask all the questions that I'm probably sure I've heard a million times from different people. My friend Katie, she said, the hell is wrong with you? You can't do that. I said, well, I just did. Wait. So, Coffee, you're saying that you wouldn't care if instant replay got taken out? I mean, hey, they've had to use instant replay 4 times during this World Series. I mean, I know 4 is not a big number, but hey. You know, the umpires had to make sure, did he actually catch the ball? Did this person get tagged out? They used it twice last night because they kept replaying Buster Posey's line drive pitch down center field. And then they said, well, it became a ground ball. And Pierce Hunter was on third base, and he ran his butt home. Or tried to. And he slid into home, but the ball came in and, you know, their catcher didn't really touch him at all. I was like, come on, he didn't really touch him. But they said because of the way the game is played now, how they've changed the rules. We have to remember with Buster Posey himself in the 2010 World Series. Remember when he took that hit at home plate and he got so banged up and injured that he was on the disabled list immediately. They said, well, safety first, you know. And they kept watching it on the big screen at the stadium because they don't have the luxury that NFL referees do where they can walk over to a booth and actually review the play. They had to call the upstairs office last night, in fact, for the game to have that keep replaying over and over so they could see clearly the same thing that everybody else has seen. They're like, well, he's out. I was like, he's out? Oh, no, that didn't look like he was out. But they said because of safety, they want to keep everybody safe, that he's out. I said, okay, fine, he's out. Just whatever. That's okay. We're going to win, and which eventually they did, and they won 8-3 last night. So as long as they won, that's all I care about. But let's get into this real quick. We've got to take care of all of this. You know, all the Sunday lineup games that's going to be taking place this weekend. We've got a lot of things taking place this weekend. I mean, man, I tell you, it's crazy. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Because there's a lot of enthusiasts that are tracking their games now. And, hey, I mean, most of my friends are doing the NFL fantasy football thing. I'm not sure if you're into that. But, you know, That's the way it is. Oh, boy. Well, if you saw last night, Tampa Bay beat Minnesota 36-17. If Tampa Bay did not score on that last, the very last drive that they did, it would have sucked. It really would have. Because then the game would have went into overtime. They were down to the last minute and a half of that game. So it's a good thing. Otherwise, Minnesota would have had a huge chance to catch up and possibly either tie the game or get close enough to beat Tampa Bay. But a lot of people knew that that wasn't going to happen. But good game last night. Very good game. So for this Sunday, it'll be Washington taking on Pittsburgh. Seattle will take on Detroit. Carolina will take on the Chicago Bears. That's for my friend Matt Broderick, who's in Chicago. He lives there. Atlanta will take on Philadelphia. The Patriots will take on the Rams. The Colts will take on Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans, that is. The Chargers will take on the Browns. Miami will take on the Jets. The Giants will take on the Cowboys. A Giant will beat up a Cowboy. That could be one inserted. New Orleans will take on Denver. And then, of course, the big Monday night game. You remember the last time that these two teams met? Last year in the playoffs. A lot of controversy surrounded this. Monday night, it'll be the rematch from last year's playoff championship game. The San Francisco 49ers will take on the Arizona Cardinals. Can the Cardinals win, or will San Francisco shut them down? Well, we'll have to see what happens with that come Monday night. Coffee wants all instant replay games gone. Yeah, you keep wishing for that coffee. Yeah, I can't even talk now. Oh my goodness. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this is, I don't know what to tell you. It's been a pretty sweet game, pretty sweet show so far. Oh boy, I can't believe it. But we'll eventually see what's going on and all this other stuff.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Yeah. Hello.
Scary night, isn't it? Like right out of a horror movie or something.
Who is this?
Help me! Help me! Help
what?
Me! Help me!
What? Who?
Oh.
Hey, lady!
What do we have here?
Hey, we're not finished yet.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. Want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Halloween special, ladies and gentlemen. Got something else for you for that on the next commercial break also. First, we got some just a few quick wrestling notes and new stuff to go over. And the first one doesn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise anybody else. But at this time, it looks as if WWE will be adding the primetime players to take on the team of Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. WWE is currently mapping out the show and would like to feature the two teams on the pay-per-view because the officials are especially pleased with how Rey and Sin Cara have done together and want them to get them onto the pay-per-view. Well, you should do that anyways. Because as the card for this Sunday's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, as we'll get into later on and do the rundown, not that many matches. You know, which means, you know, they're going to just bombard the show and do whatever they want with it. Of course, adding to matches that they want to add to. But they should add more matches. There's only like six on there. Actually, take that back. It's only four. Four or five. And due to the NBA coverage, Coffee, listen for you, listen up. The hit show, The Score, will be airing at 11:30 on Wednesday, beginning November 7th. The show currently airs a few hours earlier, but replays will remain on Fridays at 6 p.m. So if you watch The Score or keep any notes of that show, just know that, you know, you have to wait till later on in the nighttime, or you can watch the replays and reruns on Friday night. Internationally acclaimed wrestler Ricky Reyes was backstage at Tuesday's SmackDown taping in Providence, Rhode Island. It is said that he has been on WWE's radar. Check this out. Believe it or not, the world champion CM Punk turns 34 years old today. Also, Kevin Sullivan, former WCW booker, is 63. Austin Idol is also 63. Remember Krugen from the WWE days, back when they were WWF? He's only 43 this week. He had his birthday this past Wednesday. Taka Michinoku is only 39 years old. I used to watch him as a kid. I can't believe he's only 39 this week. He's still a young guy. And Rochelle Lowen is 33. Masato Tanaka will appear at the Boston Super Mega Fest, taking place November 17th and 18th at Sheraton Flemington Hotel in Framingham, Massachusetts. It's on Worcester Road. For those of you in the Massachusetts area, if you live in that area, got to welcome guest 3988 into the chat room. Welcome. And the reason, you know, we'll get into this later, the reason for Jeremy Borash and Todd Kelly calling the first hour of wrestling on Thursday night for TNA Impact last night was to freshen up the show. They wanted to change it up. The call was made by, well, Coffee and EDP will be shocked, and I was shocked when I found out somehow he's back. That's right. The call to have this change made was made by none other. He's back with decision-making progress. Behind the scenes, though, he would no longer be competing as an on-air talent, and that one guy is Eric Bischoff. Yes, he made the plans. Kennelly has previously worked for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and the BHE Celebrity Championship Wrestling Series. He got good reviews for his work last night. And during a radio interview last night also, WWE Champion CM Punk, he still refuses to address the crowd incident that occurred on the October 8th edition of Raw in Sacramento, California. Remember when he shoved a fan and knocked him down and then kicked him? Yeah, everybody thought, oh, remember I told you all last week? Everybody thought, oh, it's a new wrestler. It's a storyline playing out. That wasn't a storyline. That was not a wrestler. He was a ticket-buying fan, as I said last week. Can't just go around insulting fans, but, you know, the other funny thing about this is that participating in an interview over the phone with Cleveland radio show Rover's Morning Glory, the program host repeatedly asked Punk about the incident. Punk appeared disgruntled. He ultimately hung up with the host, both of them, and guess what? With the interview, that only lasted 5 minutes. If CM Punk ever comes on the show, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to ask him about this because everybody else has asked him about that. So, and I don't like repeating questions anyway when I have guests on the show, when I have a wrestling or sports enthusiast on the show. I just move right along. Stop asking the same question twice, or multiple times in this case. Otherwise, I don't want to get hung up on. Also, there's been a press release today confirming that WWE, I don't understand their logic here, ladies and gentlemen. This is dangerous. You talk about scary heading into Halloween. Shit, WWE has issued a press release today confirming that tomorrow's house show will go on despite a hurricane warning. WWE is set to have the show go down in West Palm Beach, Florida. So you're still going to have this little, house show, knowing that there's a hurricane coming? I'd be packing my bags and getting the hell out of there. If I had to work for Vince McMahon, I'd be like, you either get somebody else to do it, or, I don't know, you're going to have to do something. I ain't coming to work. I'm the new version of Steve Austin. He'd be like, well, you're fired. I'd be like, well, fine. I'll take the firing. Give me my pink slip and a big, big check, please. Of course, I might not get paid for working for this house show, but that would be okay. And Dangerous Danny Doring appeared on the In the Room with Brady Hicks. Being a young guy, he said this. He said, I was young, single, with money in my pocket, and I got to see the world. I was very brash. He also talked about his treatment of the ECW brand. He said, it didn't sit right with anybody, but I think I was one of the first to really come to grips with it. I think a lot of the guys were just sitting around waiting for it to change. Once that reality came into play, I kind of got depressed. I didn't take it as seriously as I should have, he said. Speaking up about some other mistake, he said, I've seen these guys mess up chance after chance after chance. I think guys messed up every opportunity while others that should have gotten the chances never really got their opportunities. Somebody needs to say something about that, and I think it was me. He said, being a Paul Heyman guy, we weren't viewed as Paul Heyman guys. We were viewed as ECW guys. It is what it is. He said, would I have liked to have been viewed as a Paul Heyman guy? Yes, we were perceived as, because we followed Paul anywhere, to the ends of the earth, he said. But I grew tired of covering for all of Paul's lies and douchebag stuff over the years. When I was there with him in WWE, I was basically the opposite of a Paul Heyman guy and simply became known as a WWE guy, which is what I had liked. Great words from Danny Doring, Danny Doring himself. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time now to get these things rolling, as I like to say. The concept this past week of Monday Night Raw was considerably great, great wrestling, great wrestling. But that all came to a halt. You know, we saw different things transpire. We know that the primetime players, you know, had gotten in the face of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. And then, of course, with Road Scholars, which is what they're calling it now. And there was this intertwining of saying that, well, we're the best tag team, and we kind of know how to beat you. Now, you know, as I always say, that was a stupid, stupid comment by one of the primetime players. But as I always say, you know, I just looked at him through my television screen and I said, the hell did you say that for? But I always remember, we can't blame them for what they say on television. Blame the damn TV writers. They're telling them to go on TV and say all this stupid stuff. Oh, and then because they're the creative team, because they get hired as writers and they think that they know what the world wants. Guess 3814, they know what you and I want. Coffee, they know what kind of violence that you want. Of course, it's really PG and you're not into that. Nobody is. And of course, because them being writers, the writers also came up with something that they thought DDP would like. A stupid, pathetic game that featured Kane and his tag team partner, Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan, because Matt Stryker even said it himself. The writers told Matt Stryker to go on TV and say, well, you know, we want you guys to get along, and we want you to do this with The Miz and his partner. And everybody was congested by it. He said, how? And Matt Stryker, he's the one that said it himself, but the writers told him to say it. But still, Matt Stryker agreed to it. Well, come on, Kane. Come on, Daniel Bryan. It's basically a dating game. Wait. This is not guys dating guys. See, this is what I've been talking about. This is exactly what I was talking about a year ago when I first realized that WWE might, they're not totally going to die and kill themselves, but they're just killing themselves ratings-wise. People are still watching the product. People are still going to the show. People are still going to order tickets and buy t-shirts and take care of all their merchandise and come back to one. But the one thing they will never come back to is where it all started. Because what if sports died? And what if it started with WWE? Because remember, a year ago I said, you know what would happen if Vince McMahon Sr., Vince McMahon's father, would come back from the grave? What if he would have come back from the dead and he would have been totally pissed? Vince, damn it, when you bought the company from me in 1977, You promised, you swore, you kept your word as a man and swore you would never compete against me or any of my great, great friends, all of which, none of them are in the wrestling business anymore because Vince did this. Oh, Vince wants to create a new brand, and it will be called WrestleMania. You got yourself on the map. You did that. That was the only thing he kept to his father, that he swore that he would make the company big and great. But all the other promises he told his dad were all lies. So what if Vince did come back from the dead? I'll give you an example. Damn it, Vince. What the hell did you do to my company? The company I've entrusted to sell to you, that you bought from me. Well, yeah, I kept my word. You kept your word undignifiably, but you didn't keep your word honestly. Because how come Dutch Mantle? How come Bob Backlund? How come all these other promoters? Where's Don Shula? You threw all them out of business, didn't you, son? Son, I told you this was going to happen. That's why I never wanted to sell you the business. And it's portrayal because the only reason, and remember, I'm pretty sure that when all this election stuff is all over with, Vince McMahon himself will realize, well, maybe all the things I'm doing now wasn't such good ideas back then. Because I know that it's trivializing to some people to kind of remember because they don't even remember at all. And I've had to remind so many of you because Coffee and DDP, they remember when our chat rooms were full back in the day, right, guys? When people were asking questions, well, how did this happen? Where did this come from? What the hell is the XFL? And I had to go through the course of the last 5 years here on Blog Talk Radio to tell everyone that in 2003, he came up with the concept and said, we're going to have football wrestling. Yeah, football wrestling is going to be great. It'll be another way for me to make money. And it's not going to be called World Wrestling Federation. No, it's going to be football, but it's going to still have wrestling in it. I'm going to call it the XFL. And the reason why nobody really remembers it, ladies and gentlemen, is because it was a promotional-based thing that Vince just happened to have at the last minute. He didn't even give it time to prepare. He just wrote it all down, and let's pretend that you're one of his employees, that you're one of his yes-man, no-man type of guys. Like guest 3814, if he was to come to you and go, here, I wrote all this down, now show this to everybody else. And guest 3814, who's in the chat room with us, would be like, well, what the hell is this? Well, it's a program plan. It's called the XFL. Pass it out to everybody else. Do we even know what the XFL is, Vince? And Vince McMahon never said yes or no, because he knows it's not the truth. He knows it's a really stupid idea to just hand you these papers and go hand them out. He won't say yes or no, or won't even admit the truth that it's not something that was planned overnight. There's no time to prepare. Okay, well, you're calling it the XFL. When does the season start? In 3 weeks. 3 weeks? Do we even have enough teams to cover this so-called XFL football thing you want to do? Yeah, I'll take care of it. I'm Vince McMahon. Remember that. I'm Vince McMahon. Yeah, you're Vince McMahon with the hole the size of your head that would probably fit a rifle gun. Coffee, where's your rifle? I'm kidding. And there's this soul remorse that would come out of it if Vince Sr. was still alive and go, that's a bad idea. Oh, I told you a long time ago that was going to be a bad idea for sure, son. And he swore to, you know, all the investors, all the people, all the rich friends that he has. I mean, because even though Dick Ebersole is still one of his best friends from NBC, because, you know, him and Dick Ebersole, he's like, well, why don't we have Saturday Night's Main Event on your network? Dick agreed to it. All right, fine. But it was only a 2-year lapse deal that they had. Wait. Time out. Coffee said in the chat room, he said, I like the XFL because it was cheesy and fun. Oh, I have an XFL football. You do? Coffee, please tell me you're joking and being cheesy about that. You really have an XFL football? Let me guess, you spent $50 for Vince McMahon to send you one of those, right? Did you get a damn t-shirt too? Oh, God. And, you know, and everybody was caught off guard by the bad dancing cheerleaders. Then we find out that we found it from an interview that Shane McMahon did. Those XFL cheerleaders, we know that they dance like crap. They can't dance at all. Well, there's something my father would not tell you, but they go, yes, Shane McMahon, spit it out. I mean, Vince was pissed that Shane McMahon, his own son, told the truth, but you need to tell the truth anyways. I was very proud of Shane McMahon for that interview when he said that, well, they're just a bunch of women that we grabbed off the street. Literally. That's why they can't really dance or they're not real cheerleaders. Then everything, now the cat really jumped out of the hat. The Pandora's box is already open, thanks to Shane McMahon sharing that interview in 2004. Oh, those women. Well, those are not real cheerleaders. That's why they can't really dance. Yes, DDP. That stupid, that's where I was heading back to. See, if you've been with us for a long time, you'll realize that the guys in the chat room that have been with me all these years, many years now, they know what I'm going to say even before I say it. DDP, you're jumping ahead of my notes there, pal, but that's okay. So that's what I was leading back to. Because the writers felt that it's their job to feel what we as fans feel. They feel like me, Coffee, Guest 3814, and DDP, and the rest of the world that's listening now within the sound of my voice, they feel it's their job to amuse us. We're the writing team. I just thought of a great idea to write into the storylines. Yeah, what's that? We're going to have a guy dating game on the show. Oh, sure, yeah. You got my approval on it. Well, there's still one more person I need approval from. Vince McMahon. Oh, sure. Well, you know, and Stephanie McMahon is the only one really there now. Because ever since 2005, when WWE wanted to become a publicly traded company, remember? And the other investors who are not really friends with Vince McMahon anymore, I mean, have you noticed how much they're struggling trying to get the stupid WWE network to exist? Because all the rich buddies that he had when he first went, it became a publicly traded company in 2005. They said, well, hold on, you can't become a publicly traded company yet. And Vince said, what do you mean I can't? Nobody's ever told me no before. I'm Vince McMahon, damn it. What do you mean no? Well, we want to make sure everybody that's here now is going to be intact for the longest time. And Vince, without even thinking, said the stupidest thing he could tell investors before becoming a publicly traded company. Oh, everybody that you see here, yeah, my family and my immediate family, my wrestlers, everybody will be here for the next 100 years if we're all still alive by then. They said, can you guarantee that? And again, he says, yeah, sure, I can guarantee that. Why didn't you just tell the truth and say no? Because now look. Go back to 2010 when I told you all in wrestling in the wrestling news segment back then, Shane McMahon is leaving. He wants to go upstart his own MMA-type, UFC-type, you know, promotion. He doesn't want to be drawn into the wrestling dramatization of it anymore. He wants to go where the real wrestling is. So that's why Shane McMahon has been following Dana White around and seeing how to actually promote and do the UFC-type stuff, and he wants to become an underground promoter. Because he saved all his money while being part of WWE, and we know he even had some great, great matches, mostly with Kane. But now he's gone. And the investors and people that are in charge of allowing you to be a publicly traded company, now they're pissed off. The people that are involved with letting you become a publicly traded company, Coffee, are now pissed off. Now look, now Linda McMahon is gone. She's off trying to become a senator for the state of Connecticut. And now all these investors and other rich people involved with Vince McMahon and the people that allowed him to become a publicly traded company, they said, we think we made a bad investment letting you become a publicly traded company. Are any more of your members of your family or staff planning to leave? No. No. I'm being honest. And then he starts getting scared. Because these are all his rich buddies. That isn't going to back him up for the next 10 years. You better pray to God that they do. Because have you noticed now? Because they did it again on Raw this week. I don't know how Vince knows how to pull the strings on this, but he did. I'm watching the World Series and I go, oh, well, I can come back to the World Series later. Or I can find out, you know, because I got the Giants text messaging on my phone, so I'm friends with them too. So if we win or lose, I can always find out from the text message. But at the same time, I really, really, really want to watch the World Series. So with 4 minutes before 9 o'clock, I switch over to the USA Network. I'm like, okay. And then I see, you know, good old JR Jim Ross sitting there, and he's like, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to start Monday Night Raw. We're going to get ready for this. We hope you're ready, too. And because, well, they always do that. They always let you know 5 minutes before Raw goes on the air that they're ready to go on the air. But then I start hearing these explosions going off. And then I was watching a video that my friend had sent me. I'm like, well, okay, well, this video will be done within the next 2 minutes, which will still give me 2 minutes to actually turn around and start watching Raw for the next 3 hours. But I'm like, what are these explosions going off? And I thought it was maybe some brand new commercial going on. I thought maybe, well, because I think it was funny. Because right before Raw, I don't know how many of you saw that, but yeah, Monday night was also the very, very, very first Christmas commercial, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Everybody's ready for Christmas now. We're not even at Halloween yet. Damn, people need to learn how to slow the fuck down. Isn't that right, Coffee? Good grief. I remember as a kid, they didn't start promoting Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Now everybody has to be on top of each other. Everybody wants to be first, the first person in line now. Ugh. People want to be first in line. But I was wondering, what are these explosions going off? And I turn around and Michael Cole's like, I'm glad we're on the air. JR's like, well, I'm excited for you, but we've got a lot to talk about. Anyways, Michael Cole says, yeah, I know, but we're live right now on the air. I was like, why the hell is Michael Cole so damn happy? What the fuck? Then I happen to look at the clock. That's on my dresser. I was like, what the fuck? Because Lillian Garcia goes, then the opening contest will be for that 20 minute, the 20 minute time limit match. I said, what the hell? And it was only 8:57. Wasn't even nowhere near 9 o'clock. 8:57. I said, what the hell are they doing? They're starting 5 minutes early. I was like, and I said this to myself. I was like, Vince McMahon, you son of a bitch. And they even went off the air 5 minutes early, DDP. Why would they need to go off the air 5 minutes early? That's because the network told them to do that. When will sports, such as baseball, football, hockey, and wrestling, by the way, guess 3814, those are the only sports that we talk about on this channel. I don't care about golf and all that other shit. I'm not into the gymnastics or anything like that. The hell with all that. But when are these promoters going to realize that, yes, they make all this money? Yes, they're rich, rich and filthy, dirty bastards. But also they need to realize, see, if you're a promoter and if you're on television, you have to respect the perimeters that you're on within that television network. And let me just say, the reason why I said that was because USA Network, they were not pleased about the whole guy dating guy game that they created. They went back and they called up Vince and they said, who was all involved in that? Well, damn it, I let my writing team take care of that. They're the creative team. They have the creative minds around here, damn it. He said, well, don't do that again. He said, well, why not? He said, because, you know, we're the network and we're allowing you to be on our network. He said, of course, of course. And the guy from the network was like, Vince, don't interrupt me. He told him this on the phone. He said, aren't you guys supposed to be PG, supposedly, right? You're a PG product now. You're also a publicly traded company now. Vince said, yeah. He said, so if you're PG, why are you doing a guy versus guy dating game? He said, well, that's just something we thought would be fun and educational. And the guy from the network said, I don't see educational anywhere on that. I will deal with you next week more. I will call you back. And he hung up. Vince was like, hey, wait a minute. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me now? Vince had to do the whole Verizon thing by himself. But it kind of hit him when he realized the guy actually really did hang up on him. You may own the show and you may have the right to tell your wrestlers and everybody else that's working for you, do this and do that and say this on television and say that, but don't say it too much. You know, we got to watch our language now. Remember, I want it to be PG. The USA Network is now thriving on the fact that, well, come February 25th, February 25th is the most important day in the history for sports entertainment. And you may say, well, Matt, that's not an important day to me. I don't really need to care about that day. Yes, you do. February 25th, the reason why that date is so important, because after all these years, 5 years has already gone by. It's time once again to ratify the contract between WWE and USA Network. Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that be amazing to some degree, of course? If USA Network came to them and said, we no longer require your services because you're the only show that's a PG product. All of our other shows are TV-14 and above. We have mostly adult-themed shows. We want more adult-themed shows. So we're going to exercise our right to publicly cancel your termination, Vince. Go find another network. Good luck. Well, then again, the network might not even wish him luck. And then we might see the acclamation of the actual sport that Vince McMahon himself created behind his father's back, as I said earlier. Because what if we all woke up the last week of February into the first week of March for next year and realized, oh, our TV guide sends no Monday Night Raw anymore. It's not even listed. Some would feel heartbroken. Others, like Coffee and DDP and myself, I think, would be like, all right, they're not on television anymore. It's the way the world works, and it's the way that television works. Because for years, certain promoters and people in charge of different shows have always said, well, we made you famous. You owe us. You can't just pull us off the network. I was so happy in 1996 when Three Company, you know, that stupid comedy show? Well, I think it was stupid. Coffee might still love it. I couldn't stand that show. That show was just so not a show. It was pathetic. They compromised the show itself. Then they went into their own storyline that really had nothing to do with being a Three Company show. Later that same year, I was even more happier when ABC decided to cancel. I'm sure you guys remember this. I was so happy when ABC canceled Married with Children. They said, you know, we know it's been going on for years and years and years, but now we're just sick of seeing it over and over again. They said, what's that? They were talking to Alex Caruso. I can't pronounce his last name correctly. But Alex was the guy that was portraying Al, remember? But he would always sit there on the couch almost every scene with his damn hands inside of his pants. I'm like, well, why didn't you just, you know, if you're going to do that, why don't you just, you know, take off your damn jeans and sit there butt naked on a television show? Ah, my good friend Matt Broderick is in the chat room. What's up, Matt? And I begin to think that television and sports have a lot in common. Because as I said, everybody has always tried to one-up the network. Yes, happy Friday, and hope you have a good weekend too, Matt. And it's like this revolving door that sports promoters think that, well, we can get away with this. We don't have to share this information with the network. We don't need to do this for the network. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Otherwise, they have the official and authorizing authority to pull you off the network, if they so choose to. That's right. Let's take a time out. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Matt Broderick. Of course, his real birthday is tomorrow. And with this anthology that I hope that, like I said earlier, once these elections are over, And I'm hoping that you people in Stamford, Connecticut, and in the surrounding states by Connecticut, you know, I understand where Linda McMahon is coming from. She's being a political face now. But remember one thing. Even though I enjoy what she's been saying all this time, how she's going to make the state of Connecticut better, and based on things she wants to do, it's a good thing I don't live in Connecticut. But then again, I've got to deal with living here in damn California. Oh, Matt has to leave us. All right, Matt. Well, you take care of yourself. Enjoy your night. You're going to go watch the Blue Man Blues group tonight. There in Chicago. That's where he lives. I tell you. Remember to, if you're friends with Matt Broderick on social media, wish him an early happy birthday. His birthday ends of tomorrow, though. Officially. Great, that's great. Now, of course, there's these other perimeters around that like to take in things. But Seeley doesn't want, he's thinking about getting rid of the instant replay. Roger Goodell wants everyone to acknowledge him and him only. Who are you, Pharaoh? I didn't know you were an Egyptian. Because Roger Goodell he's kind of taken that role signature of Vince McMahon or Donald Trump. Because Roger Goodell's been saying, the NFL is my playground and I'm going to do what I want with it. Basically, what he's saying there is, you have no choice but to do what I say. Everything I say. And he's proud of the fact that they've got the NFL network. Even though the NFL games, they still broadcast on different channels such as ESPN or on Fox. Thank God for Fox, I live locally. I can still watch all the football games or find out what the hell is going on. But after all these years, now there's starting to be a problem within the actual NFL network. Which is kind of similar to WWE trying to get their own WWE network off the ground. Because remember, 6 months ago when Vince said, don't worry, the NFL network will come to a TV station near you. It'll be a broad-based network. But then in March, they realized, well, wait a minute. How are we going to broadcast this out? And then they realized, wait a minute. Are we going to make this a pay-by-pay subscription channel? What are we going to do about this? How is this going to work? How are we going to get people to actually enjoy the network in their own homes? Privately, if they so choose to. And then they had all these other sorts of ifs, ands, or buts questions. And then all those questions got directed back to Vince. It's like, well, I don't know. You don't know. You're the one in charge of WWE. You don't know. And he's like, I don't know, damn it. Let me think about it. That's why, you know, Everybody, You all fell for it, all of you except me, because, well, I knew it was going to happen. Everybody was like, you know, I got a few emails over the summer. For May, June, and July, that's all everybody was excited about. Matt, I can't believe it. And I'd read my emails. Yeah, what's that? I heard your show last week. It was great. I can't believe it. I can't wait until April 1st. April 1st didn't happen. That's right. Then later on in the summer. I can't wait until September 25th. The WWE Network will finally be on my TV. My parents are already, you know, are going to allow me to have it, and they're going to pay for it. Well, good. I'm happy for you. But now everybody's like, well, I'm getting tired of waiting around for them to do this WWE Network thing. Yes, Coffee. I mean, excuse me. Yes, DDP, you're right. NBC, CBS. Because network affiliations, the reason for that, why the September 25th launch that they finally said that was going to happen. Remember, first they said, oh, we're going to launch the network in April. No, we're going to launch it in June. Okay, we've got it all figured out. No, we don't have it figured out. But we're going to figure it out, and hopefully, we're just going to give you guys this random date. September 25th. Well, September is long gone. We're here in October now. Late October, as a matter of fact. And, Vincent's been going around meeting with the same people that Roger Goodell met with to get the NFL Network going. You guys helped them. You guys helped Underground League get on TV to do their sports. I'm kind of in the sports business, too. Mine is sports and entertainment. We're a wrestling company. But then again, you know, it boggled these more rich guys that Vince doesn't even know very well, who are like, you want us to help you launch a network. Yet, the word you just used, because for years and years and years, Vince has always told his talent, he's like, I hate saying this word. It's refusive. And I hate saying it myself, but this is a cuss word. This is a very bad word. Don't ever say this word. Vince has always had a problem saying the word wrestling. So just like I said in Wrestling News earlier about that meeting that he's been having, trying to launch the network, now all the guys that are thinking of helping him and maybe want to help him launch this network are going, wait a minute. Do you expect us to help you launch the network? Yet you just used the word wrestling. We know what the story is about you. We know you don't like the word wrestling. He's like, well, that's true. I do view it as a cuss word in my book. And no, we're not a wrestling company anymore. Wait a minute. How are you not a wrestling company anymore? That doesn't even remotely make sense. And so all the big suits and all these other rich guys that can help Vince get his network off the ground are going. That's why when they had that meeting last week, like I said in the wrestling news segment, they start making excuses. I mean, if the three of us, if myself, DDP, and guest 3814, were like, I'd be the first one making a real excuse. I'd be like, Vince, I'm sorry to cut this meeting real short. Yeah, I just remember I've got something else to do. I have to get going. DDP is going to be like, I know I'm much older now, but actually, I'm sorry to say, but I still live at home. Yeah, my mom's calling me. Guest 3814 would be like, oh, you know what? I just remembered. My phone's ringing. Yeah. Bleep, bleep. You hear my phone? Yeah, it's ringing, Vince. I just remembered I have a hot date in 20 minutes, so yeah, we've got to go. Bye. and we would literally flake out on Vince. That's what these guys are doing. They're flaking out on Vince. Because all the words that he used, he swore he would never use these words. The word wrestling to him is a dirty word. It's a cuss word. And I'm sure that he was not too pleased with Matt Stryker, because remember during the course of this dating game segment, and then later on when CM Punk, you know, got told by Matt Stryker when Matt Stryker came out right before the Lumberjack match, he said, well, I don't want any trouble, but I just got through talking with Vicky Guerrero, and instead of there being just 10 Lumberjacks like we normally have, we're going to have 30 Lumberjacks. This is going to be a great, great wrestling match for you, CM Punk. You're going to love this type of wrestling. It's a Lumberjack match. Boy, I'm sure when he went backstage, I'm sure he got an earful from Vince. Damn it, don't go out on TV using that word. You know I hate that word. But Vince, that's what it is. Ever since they went PG, and ever since they became a publicly traded company last September, last year in November was when he started saying that, well, we're not a wrestling company anymore. First you become a publicly traded company, then 2 months later you tell the world that you're a PG product. Then right before the year ends, you told the world that we're not a wrestling company anymore. You're still fucking wrestling. I don't understand the logic of how you can tell the world we're not a wrestling company anymore. We're a PG product, but we're not wrestling anymore. We don't do wrestling anymore. Well, then I don't know what the fuck you call that other shit then. What am I watching? Oh, that's right. A guy dating guy game. Basically, nobody else, before we go to commercial break here, let me just say this. Nobody else, I mean, I haven't heard anything about gays or lesbians. They're not involved with the election process this year, so we don't need to worry about it. Actually, they haven't been mentioned on any TV shows or anything like that since 2008. Yet Vince McMahon still wants to play on the emotions of 9/11. He still wants to play on the emotions of the different tragedies that have taken place in the last 10 or 12 years. But he's not doing it to sodomize the fans that are in the arena live or watching it at home. He's not doing it to console us. He's making it his own personal playground. Just like when the 9/11 thing happened. Remember, he himself and the creative team came up with the Un-Americans, which was Test, Edge, and Lance Storm. And it became to a point back in 2001 when the writers were like, well, who are he going to feud with? Well, let's give him the American Badass, of course. Let's get him the Undertaker. The Undertaker will be the foil for being the good guy throughout all this. But there was one night in particular. It was only 3 weeks. 9/11 had just taken place, and 3 weeks later, here's Lance Storm and Edge and Christian burning the American flag live on Raw, knowing they would get backlash. And all of a sudden, you know, Vincent's trying to make, you know, family-friendly friends, telling the world, oh, we're a PG product. We'll make sure things get put out there. Yeah, right. They're still having women beat the crap out of each other like we saw AJ and Vicky Guerrero do on Raw this past week. to the point where Vicky actually, well, actually they did it to each other. And when I say did it, I mean sexually. That's what it was on Raw. When Vicky lifted up AJ's pants, and you could see her, you know, her private part. And she proceeds to spank AJ like she's a child or something like that. Then AJ knocked her over and did the same thing and started spanking her. You could also see her backside, as JR had said. He couldn't say the word nudity or anything like that because, well, he knows that this is a PG product, but there's no other way to say it. So JR went out there on the air as a commentator, and he said it. This is a whole lot of nakedness for being nude here on Raw. Wow. And I'm sure Vince told him in the headset, stop saying that. Be quiet. We're PG. Why? Because you don't want nobody to know the truth about how you really roll? You're not demographically changing anything. You're still the same old Vince with the same old tricks up your sleeve. To try to make people believe that you have changed. And you haven't. And we know that for a fact based on the stupid storyline that of how AJ got fired and then she told John Cena, well, I told them it was all for me and you. He's like, that? That was a business meeting. Remember? A business meeting? She's like, well, now I'm fired and I don't know what to do. I'm so sorry about all this. And then John Cena says, don't worry. I'll take care of it. Oh, right. He's going to take care of it. What, are you going to get her job back? Yeah. Uh-huh. Managing supervisor Vicky Guerrero? What the hell is that? We'll be right back.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
We're back at ringside with Mr. Fuji, who's been joined by the magnificent Morocco. Now, normally it's Mr. Fuji who manages Morocco, but tonight, Morocco returns the favor, and as you see, they're discussing the ground rules of the match with the referee. Meanwhile, Mean Gene Okerlund is with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Okay, Ricky Steamboat, tonight perhaps one of the most important matches in your career. We know what Mr. Fuji and what Don Morocco have been capable of doing in the past. As a matter of fact, let's go back in time and refresh some memories.
Look at this. He's got the strap right around his neck, Fuji has. Oh, no. Oh, no.
There's no doubt these two have been disqualified. Referee gave that signal some time ago.
Keeping all of this in mind, Ricky Steamboat, what will be different in your match tonight?
Well, Gene, you know, in the past, those men, Fuji Morocco, have only felt the physical person of Ricky Steamboat. But tonight, Fuji, you are going to feel your only fear. The dragon. The dragon. You remember that, Fuji? I see you out there. the dragon. I've said enough. This is making it very uneasy. Back to you, Vince.
Good luck at the dragon, Ricky Steamboat, one of the most popular athletes. Laughing like we're crazy, nothing mattered, nothing fazed me. We were younger then, so much younger then. Everything seems rotten through the eyes of the forgotten.
Happening here on NDB Media and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys. We've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
Yes, and we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show Halloween special. First time ever in the history of the show that I've done a Halloween special. I'm not really into Halloween, but hey. Did you enjoy that Saturday night main event moment there from 1985? It was on Halloween night that they did that. With Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. That was an awesome, awesome time. I remember that. The good old days of Saturday night's main event, that is. And, during that commercial break there, me and Coffee were talking. He goes, oh, yeah, I would be terribly scared of his daughter. And at first, I drew a blank. I was like, oh, you mean Stephanie McMahon? He's like, what? No, hell no. I was talking about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's daughter. I was like, oh, yeah, it's her? Oh, my God. She's very tall. She's very tall, very muscular. That's the other thing I didn't tell you, Coffee, during the commercial break, so I'm telling you now. And before she got into WWE, she was actually doing what, the powerhouse guys. There's a group of guys that do powerhouse stuff where they can break bricks over with their head or with their arms or any part of their body, any creative way that they do, kind of like what Mark Henry did for the Olympics in 1995, the strongman competition, stuff like that. That's what his daughter was doing. So, if you ever date her, Coffee, just remember, you don't want to piss her off or say the wrong thing. She'll beat your ass 9 ways from Sunday. Oh, my God. What a great Halloween moment there from Saturday night's main event, like I said. But, yeah, hey. TNA last night, of course, was a better show, yet, I'm telling you all, I know that these things are going to happen, which is why I felt it was so predominant to talk about this today. What if sports didn't exist? Or as I said at the top of the show, at the very top of the show, I said, you can either subtitle it and write it down and say that, what if sports died? Whatever you want to call it. The show is about you great fans. Title it whatever you want, but ultimately that's what it comes down to. Because this is how Spike TV operates. Because a lot of people don't remember or forgot, this is the same network that used to be TNN. Anytime a brand new show comes on, they only let it last for 10 to 12 years. And then they start telling the people in charge of that show, tone this down. Kill this person off the show. Do away with that person. Remember, TNN was basically a remnant that dubbed itself the Nashville Network. That's basically what they still are. Oh, sure, they thought they were real slick in 2002 when they quietly and very deceptively, very sneaky changed their name. They quietly changed over. We're not TNN anymore. We're, now we've got an S here, a P here, an IKE. We're Spike TV. Yeah, that's what we are. Without ever telling anybody that we used to be this channel. Oh, the guys that screwed Paul Heyman and all these other shows out of the 90s. for their contract to be on our network. No, 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 that wasn't us. No, you got the wrong channel. Bullshit, we've got the wrong channel. Because I even saw it with the talent last night when I was watching TNA. When Bully Ray had said that, you know, I don't need to be in this match at Turning Point. I don't need to be a world heavyweight champion. I'll worry about that later. And that's when Hulk Hogan said, well, you made the damage decision for me very easy then. You're eliminated. Do you really want to deal with your brother? Because, yeah, I do. Ever since he revealed himself to be one of the key leaders of this Aces and Eights shit going around. He's like, thank you, Hulk. Thank you. Because TNA's writers are losing their freedom to the network itself in real life. And by the end of that show, when the whole thing had exploded and everything got kind of out of hand, but not so much out of hand, you could tell that the network, not the writers and not Dixie Carter, was keeping the show controlled, under control, so much that they're still being very, very violent. They're still being very agile in how they're violent they are. That's not the problem. The problem is the way the wrestlers were talking now. More so when Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian came out to do their promo against Chavo Guerrero and Hector Hernandez. Because remember, it was Christopher Daniels who said, well, you know, I got to beat you down like the stupid sons of... Wait. I got to watch my mouth. You're just a bunch of little stupid bastards. Hernandez is like, I'm not little, remember? Homie? And I'm like, all the guys that I grew up watching, they always had their own colorful language. They wouldn't just let somebody bump them off and go, okay, well, that's the end of that, and I'm going to leave the ring and go to the back room and hide my head. But there was no added dramatization. Taz and Mike Tenay, they came out for the second hour because, as you know, earlier I mentioned it in Wrestling News, that Jeremy Borash and Ed Cornell, they think that it will be good to have new faces representing them. This might be become a weekly thing now, where these two would do the first hour, Taz and Mike Tenay will do the second hour. I think that's good. But what's happened is that they've lost it all. And just by the reaction that the crowd gave them every time they did a promo, the crowd was actually booing. And at one point, the camera was outside of the ring with Devon Dudley when he came out with Aces and Eights, because Bully Ray had called him out and said, you know, we're brothers. Devon, before he even got in the ring, he said, no, that's BS. We're not brothers. I'm like, BS? You can say the full word. You're on Spike TV. This is not WWE. Say bullshit. Just say bullshit one time. And the camera, if you watch it again, that whole promo thing between Devon and his half-brother, Bully Ray, before he even got in the ring, you'd see this guy standing there. He goes, Devon, you're a jackass. That's what he is, Bubba. Tell him that, Bully Ray. Tell him. They even knew, the fans knew, that Bully Ray could have said more than that. He could have egged them on, and this would have been a great battle to pursue into. But no, because the network, I mean, we know that they've been on TV for exactly 10 years. But as I said earlier, every time somebody gets in existence with the network developers on Spike TV, Once they make it to that 10 or 11 year mark, the network starts telling them to die down a little bit. Just chop it up. Don't say this anymore. Don't say that anymore. Because the network, for whatever reason, they hate it when a show gets really, really big, and then they just kill it. They kill it because, for whatever reason, they don't want the show to get popular, which is really stupid on behalf of the producers and people in charge of Fight TV. I mean, Fox, just look at what happened with the Fox network. They got really, really big in the 90s when Cops and America's Most Wanted and other shows like that came along. Like, hey, look at all these great TV ratings we're doing. All these other networks are happy with the progress that they're being made to give out. I mean, because now, you know, with the sports indications and all this other stuff, this is what they're really after. They're after the ratings war. They want to be number one. Everybody else wants to be in that position. Sure, also we saw them, you know, Austin Aries started, he opened up the show with standing outside Hulk Hogan's office and going, oh, yeah, yeah, ooh, I'm watching them do this and that. He was also making it seem like a sex act going on or some type of sexual imitation going on, but it wasn't. It was just the way his promo was. If you're not in the network television business to be number one, then why are you a network? Because they still haven't gotten it. Spike TV were the first network developers to tell WWE, very, very, very violent wrestling? Nah, we don't need you anymore. Because they were set to do a whole 10th anniversary with Spike TV, celebrating 10 years on Spike TV. And then they go, no, 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 Vince. Sorry, we're not going to allow you to do that. Goodbye. And they kick Vince out the door. Now you got Spike TV there. Well, now you've got TNA on Spike TV. TNA is probably being told the same thing now by Spike TV. You made it to 10 years? Well, now that you have enough money, Dixie Carter, and yeah, it's about time you should start looking for a new network. But remember, well, you know, don't forget, Spike TV is, like I said, it's formerly the Nashville Network. Yeehaw! You know they don't do those country skits anymore? They don't even have country shows. They don't even have the cowboys and Indians fight stuff from, you know, the good old days, from the era that I grew up in, the 70s and 80s. All this mantra stuff with violence. Because they don't feel it's necessary anymore. They quietly wanted to change their name and go into the night. If sports dies, the world will die with sports. If wrestling dies, fans will no longer know what to do with themselves. And in the words of Steve Austin, you can bet your bottom dollar that this shit is real. Sports will not die prematurely. And that's all I got to say about that. And that's the bottom line. Because Matt Alvarez said so. You all have a great weekend and be back next week, or else I'm going to give you all a stunner. This is
getting to the top rope, and he did it! Frog flash! Come on, Eddie! Get it! Do it! Two! Yes! It's champion!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a great new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.